So there are things we can't do anything about. Long hours at work. Life has changed. We all have these long hours at work. But there's some things we can do something about. One moment, please. Can we also have the lights off? Sorry, they were supposed to be there already. We have choices. There are things within our power, and they have consequences. What do you see there? Do you see your home? I'm happy to hear that, Mariah. But what do you see there? Yes, sweetheart, yes. Please say it again.
I see people not even touching their food and they're just on their phones.
Yes. They're at dinner, right? It's a family at dinner, but everybody's on their phone. This is so rampant today. But I'll show you something. Maybe this you don't identify with this. I'm glad. But let's go to the next one. Is this what we identify with? What do you see here? We're all eating at meals at different times and at different places in the house. Mommy's on the phone, in the kitchen, cooking, putting food together. Daddy's watching the game in the living room. Yes? Is this more? Does this resonate a bit more? Let's go to the next one. Sister's in her room on the phone with her girls and brothers playing computer games, eating chips. Yeah. Thank you. We can put the light on. Oh, yes, one more. Thank you. I forgot that one. Grandma is asking her grandson, please call me sometime. And what's he saying? I'll text you, Grandma. We don't call no more. Even grandmas and grandpas are forced to learn technology because it's text they will get. They won't get a phone call. We can put the light on. Why? Why is this the case? Because of Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. Our own way. When we rebelled against God, when we all turned our back against God, we turned towards what God said is not good. Before the fall, when God said one thing was not good, he said it's not good for man to be alone. Not just in marriage, but as far as community is concerned. He said it's not good. And he meant it. It is not good for us to be isolated, for us to do it alone. But when we turned our back in rebellion, I'm turning my back to God, I'm going to turn towards what he says is not good. That's going to be my own normal. And that's what has become our normal. We've left God's path to follow our own. And yet, what's the second part of that verse? God laid on Jesus the iniquity, the sins, the rebellion of all of us. God is calling us to turn back to him in Christ Jesus in every way. It is to affect every area of our lives when we give our hearts to Jesus. There's nothing that's supposed to be left behind, including this area, relationships most especially. Now, when we turn back fully to Jesus, we turn our back on that aloneness, on that isolation. When we turn back fully to Jesus, remember that Jesus came to connect with us. Remember that Jesus left his glory to take on our flesh, to connect with us. There's no way we would have been able to connect with God. He did all that. He died for our sins, for our rebellion. He died and he rose to make us right with God for our justification, so we can now connect with God. He did all that and did more. He gave us his spirit, put his spirit within us, so we can connect with God and we can connect well with each other. If we daily make the choice that I'm not going to turn to my own way anymore, I'm really turning to Jesus, we will find that we begin to connect with people. It goes without saying. Do you remember that when the Lord addresses the body, anytime he uses his apostles, the prophets to address the body, it's a community he's addressing. We are all the body of Christ. I am not the body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. It's always a community. So when we are rightly connecting with the Lord, we will connect with each other well. So let's look at Jesus, the one we follow, and see how he connects. Because his way is connecting with God and connecting with people, despite his busy schedule. Can any of you beat Jesus' schedule with your schedule? Think about your schedule. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, think about your schedule. Is there anybody here that think about Jesus' schedule? Okay, let's look at today in Jesus' life. Maybe your schedule can be Jesus' schedule. Let's see. Let's go to Mark 1 and let's look from verse 29. This is just one day in Jesus' life. And our sister would read for me. Doc, yes, please. We're reading from Mark 1, verse 29. Oh, she's going to read. Thank you.
And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go unto the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Thank you. Please, can Mariah also have a mic? She's going to read the next one. So this is a day in the life of Jesus, right? He's preached in the synagogue. He's left the synagogue, right? He's gone to Simon's mother-in-law's place. He's healed her. The whole town gathers. This is in the evening after sunset. After sunset, he heals many sick people, demon-possessed people. He heals them. The whole town is gathered at the door to watch. After doing that, it says a great while before daybreak, everybody's still sleeping. This is after he did all that work. He goes to a solitary place and there he prays. And then the disciples come and look for him and tell him, "Everybody's looking for you." And then he says, "We have to go to the other towns as well." And then they go, travels on foot through the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. It's just one day. Should we talk about the day that he fed 5,000? After that, he now dismissed the disciples that they should go ahead, dismiss the people. He dismissed the people himself. He told the disciples, "Go in the boat." He dismissed 5,000 people himself. You can imagine them coming, "A rabbi," greeting him and all that. And he's being gentle with them, dismisses them. Then he goes to a mountain to go and pray. And then at 3 a.m., he's walking on the water towards the disciples. A day in the life of Jesus. Can your schedule beat his? Because if it can, y'all too busy. If we cannot make time for each other, we're too busy. You know, the Lord Jesus had time not only for the crowds, but for people one-on-one. Isn't it? Let's think of blind Bartimaeus. And when Jesus met anyone, whoever Jesus connected with, their lives were transformed forever. Let's start with blind Bartimaeus. That guy was silenced. He wasn't just blind. He was a social outcast because he had an impediment in that day. He wasn't just blind. They were silencing him. He was saying, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Shut up. Hush. They were silencing him. He was silenced. He was a social outcast and he was blind. But for Jesus, Jesus said, "Bring him, bring him." That's when they're like, "Oh, you're lucky. Oh, yeah, get up. He's calling you to come." He was silenced. Jesus made him feel heard. Have you ever been in a desperate situation where you wish somebody would hear your heart? That's what Jesus does. Jesus made him feel heard. Jesus made him feel seen. Jesus removed his reproach. How? He gave him his sight. That man's life was transformed. It was a new life. I can see. I don't have to beg anymore. I have dignity. This is the transforming work of Jesus' connection. Let's look at someone else, Zacchaeus. He's a different kind of social outcast, isn't he? Tax collector. Who likes the tax collector? Nobody. Yes, he was a tax collector. And this guy, nobody liked him. Matthew as well. Nobody liked him. Oh, because he's an accountant. But nobody liked the tax collector. What did the Lord do? He gave him repentance. He changed his life. This guy made restitution. His repentance was real. Lord, if I have cheated anybody, of course you've cheated many people. But if I've cheated anybody, I'm giving them four times what I took from them. Do we think the restitution he made would have brought gladness of heart to some people? Of course. There's some people that may have been in debtor's prison that can be released now because he's paying them four times. This is what Jesus' connection does. How about the woman at the well? Also, social outcast, right? That's why she's coming, I believe. That's what I have read. That's why she's coming in the noonday sun to come and fetch water instead of early in the morning with the other women. She's been with how many men? And the one she's now with, the fifth one, he's not her husband. But what did Jesus' connection with this woman do? He gave her dignity. He forgave her. He didn't shame her. He called out her sin, but he didn't shame her. This is the first person Jesus is revealing himself, his identity to plainly. His identity to. This is the first person that he's making it like no parable, night and day, that he is the Messiah. I am he. He made her the first evangelist to Samaria. Right? New life. New life here, eternal life. What about you and I? Think back. What was your life like before you met Jesus, if you have truly met him? What was your life like? What would your life have been like if right now you hadn't met the Lord? What would it be like? He transforms. But he doesn't just transform our lives. When we're fully surrendered, he transforms our lives that when we meet people, his spirit within us will cause our interaction, our connection with them to be transforming for them, isn't it? How's your life? This is to the glory of God. If you're convinced, you know your life has touched someone because of Jesus in you, can I see your heart? Bro Wale, what's your hand doing down? Please. If you know your life, Stabuki, your life has, Brother Femi, your life has touched people. Hey, really? If your life, it's because of Jesus, it's not for your glory. If your life has touched someone because of Jesus, when the Lord comes in, it is that we might be transforming to others. Case in point, Paul. Who was Paul before Jesus? Acts chapter 8. Mariah, Please, would you read verse 1 to 3 in Acts chapter 8? Who was Paul before Jesus? How did he start out?
Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison.
Ah, Boko Haram. Boko Haram. He went destroying the church single-handedly. Do you know if you read chapter, I think it's chapter 10, after he gave his life to Christ, do you know that after Paul gave his life to Christ, do you know that great peace came upon the church? Go back and read the book of Acts. Great peace came over the church after Paul gave his life to Jesus. One man. One man. This guy was going to Damascus to go. It's not enough what he had done in Judea. He's going to, with letters, to go and drag people, Christians. But then he met the Lord. He met the Lord. Please read, Mariah, please read Acts 9, verse 17 and 19. Yes, Acts chapter 9. Verse 17, and then 19 to 22.
Let's see. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying he's indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the man who caused such devastation among Jesus's followers in Jerusalem? They asked. And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests?
Thank you. Transformed completely into the Holy Spirit-filled believer, apostle of the Lord. Can we mention some of the books that God inspired Paul to write, written as letters? Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Philemon, right? Titus, thank you. And some people think Hebrews, although there's a dispute about that. Paul, this is what Jesus does. He transforms us that we may be people he uses to transform others. Will we surrender fully to him? And will we connect with people? Some of us are like, oh, I don't do people. I'm an introvert. I don't like people that much. It's draining. And truly, because introverts gain their energy from solitude, really, it's a spectrum, right? You have introversion, a spectrum to extroversion. It's true. But when God has deposited things in you, it's not about what is natural to you. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit for Him to help you in connecting with those He has called you to be with. And then you have the extroverts, man. I gain my energy from being with people. Truly, you know, extroverts, do you know they think by talking? Have you seen it? Most schools are built for extroverts. Two times two, their hand is up. They haven't thought about it, but their hand is up already. It's as they're seeing it that is coming out. Oh. Or, teacher, can you ask the question again? Right? While the introvert still needs to reflect and is like, can you just be quiet for a bit for me to hear myself think? But the extrovert, the thing is, when Christ comes in, whether you're introvert or extrovert, the Lord curbs our excesses. The Holy Spirit tells us when to be quiet. Extrovert, it's time for you to pause and ponder. Pause and ponder. I am with you. I will give you the energy you need. You don't get it from the people, you get it from me. The Lord will tell the introvert. And I know there are people who are like, well, ambivert. I'm an ambivert. Well, it's still a part on that spectrum. And it's still the same Lord that would show you when it's time, get out of yourself. Get out of your convenience. Get out of your comfort zone. I want to use you. Make that call. And we have to be open to Him. We have to be open to Him. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. There's someone else, there's a couple that the Lord, I love this couple. One day I made a mistake. I don't know whether I was, I think I was praying for someone for a couple's anniversary here in church, and I couldn't remember this couple's name. And I was like, it's not Ananias and Sapphira, God forbid. Lord, what's their name? It's Aquila and Priscilla. This couple's beautiful. They had met the Lord before Paul, before they met Paul, I mean. And I believe they're amongst Paul's closest friends from my reading. Because in 2 Timothy 4, we read it here today, at the end of Paul's life, remember we read? He was saying that I fought the fight. There were just two groups of people that he greeted, he sent greetings to. In Romans, we read Romans 16. You see all the people he greeted? This guy was busy, wasn't he? We said he wrote all those letters, but he had time for friendship. And I'll go back to Aquila and Priscilla. He had time for friendship. One whole chapter, and he named them. This guy went on four missionary journeys, though. Okay, let's stay a little bit with Paul first. He went on four missionary journeys. I'm including the one when he went to Rome, because on that way to Rome, he was still evangelizing, telling people about the Lord. In Rome, when he was in the house, under house arrest, he was still telling people about the Lord. Four. And he wrote all those books we mentioned. And he had time for friendship to the point that that whole chapter in Romans. Let's see what else happened in Paul's life. Please, let's open second. Let Auntie read this one, Auntie Tunu. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at, please, let's read it in New Living Translation. See a little bit more into Paul's life. This busy man. Because we may say, Jesus is the Son of Man, Son of God. So he could manage all this. Well, this is a human being fully like us, but filled with the Spirit of God. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 16. We'll wait for everybody to turn. I still hear pages. Yes. Verse 16.
Again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools.
Sorry, hold on. I think someone's phone is on. Okay. That's okay. Your brother will do it. Okay, no problem. All right. Please start again. Thank you. No worries.
Again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I am ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again, I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders have given me 39 lashes.
Sorry, pause there. Five times. Five times. Five times 39. Lash. He's been lashed five times. Each time, 39 lashes. Please go on.
3 times I was beaten with rods.
Three times beaten with rods.
Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches.
Thank you. Let's stop there. Can you imagine? It's hard. Bless you, ma. All that, in the midst of all that, this man wrote those letters and did everything. It's a lot. But he really surrendered to God. Do we think Paul walked alone in all this? He didn't walk alone. Do you remember in Acts where it says the Holy Spirit, they were fasting and praying with Simon the, I call him the nigger, number of people. They were fasting and praying, a few prophets and apostles. And the Lord said, including Paul and Barnabas, separate apart unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I've called them. Paul and Barnabas went together, missionary journeys. When Paul and Barnabas quarreled, do you remember that story? When they quarreled because Barnabas wanted them to continue taking Mark, John Mark, and Paul was like, no, he deserted us at this time. He's not going with us. And they separated. Paul and Silas went together. Barnabas and John Mark went together on a missionary journey. Then you have Paul, Luke, Timothy, Silas together. You have times when Paul was with Sosipater, with a few other names, I'll mention them. But you don't see Paul except a few times. Remember when we just read it this morning in 2 Timothy 4. He said at his first trial, everybody abandoned him, but the Lord was with him. It is true that there are times we're really alone, not because we want to be, but the Lord will never abandon you. We mortals may fail, the Lord will never fail. Remember when God told him, it's in, excuse me, in Acts, the Lord stood beside him. This is apart from that trial. The Lord stood beside Paul and he said, take courage. Take courage. You will still speak about me in this place. Take courage. God will never abandon us. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God will never abandon his own. But apart from that, you do see Paul with people. Paul with Onesimus. Do you know how wonderful God is? The Lord causes the unlikely relationships, unlikely friendships. Do you know what I'm saying? Let me give an example. Paul and Onesimus. Paul is an apostle. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Onesimus is in the book of Philemon. And he was a slave to Philemon. So it was a runaway slave, and you can imagine in that day, the penalty for running away must have been horrible. But in meeting Paul, the Jesus in Paul led Onesimus to Christ. Onesimus was going back to Philemon, and Philemon had become a believer. Y'all know that Paul constrained Philemon that, I know he was a runaway slave before. You're going to receive him now as a beloved brother. Do you understand? Do you understand the dynamic right there? Through Paul, God is letting us know, I'm not for slavery. I'm not for slavery at all. This is the runaway slave that's supposed to come and get punished in the world system. You're in the Lord now, Philemon. You're going to receive him as a beloved brother. Whatever he took from you, account it to me. But remember, you owe me your life. Remember, you gave your life because. So letting him know you're going to receive him. The Lord causes transform relationships. Even in the Old Testament, look at, I love Jonathan. I love Jonathan. I love him more than David. That guy was heir to the throne, to his father's throne. That guy was the prince. But because he had God in his life, God caused this unlikely relationship. Do you know he initiated that covenant relationship between him and David? It wasn't David. He initiated a covenant relationship with the person that was the rival to his throne, that was going to take his place. When the Lord comes into our lives, the kind of connections he causes us to make with people are connections that defy self-interest. They defy selfishness. They defy political ambition. They really defy self because of Jesus. Ah, Jonathan is a darling. But it's because of God. Who do we want to talk about? Ruth and Naomi? There was tension between the Moabites and the Israelites, isn't it? Ruth, Moabite widow, Naomi, her mother-in-law. Ruth is going into dangerous ground. She chose to go with her mother-in-law to Israel. But she had seen something, I believe, of the God, because she said, your God will be my God. She had seen something of that God. It is God who causes these kind of associations and friendships. And the Lord is not joking when he tells us that as believers in the book of James through his brother, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, you must not have the love of God with respect of persons. Do you remember? That thing is very serious. Let's actually go there. James chapter 2. Because this is one of the hindrances to connecting with one another. It is these barriers of differences that the Lord Jesus breaks down. I'll read. Actually, I know Mariah likes to read. So Mariah, please, would you read chapter 2 of James, verse 1 to... Actually, let's go 1 to 12, Mariah. Thank you.
My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry, NLT.
Oh. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who's poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't your discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said, you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free.
Thank you. God, don't play. We really need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to look within and see, Lord, where am I showing respect of persons? Where am I despising those for whom you died, who don't look like me, who don't have as much money or clout or influence, who don't smell like me? Where am I showing favoritism? Where am I sinning against you? Please show me, God. You need to look within. Sometimes it's none of these things that I've mentioned, though. Sometimes it's just that we don't really. I don't know how to say this in Femi, help me. How do I say this in English? It's a cultural thing. It can be cultural, yes. But when you say me, not because, how do you say it in English? You don't value someone, right? You don't value someone, and it may not be because they're just not your kind of person. Yes. So because they're not your kind of person, they don't really fit your social class. For some reason, you just, or you don't, it sometimes it's subconscious. It's something that has not been brought to the surface, brought to the fore for you to see yourself and see and recognize. It's true, you know. I'm okay being with this person when we're alone, but when my friends come around, I actually kind of treat that person kind of like they're beneath us. I kind of ignore them a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those things are odious to God. They're really, really, really odious to God. We're not all Nigerians here. But I won't be surprised if even in Sierra Leone, if this happens, whereby when you have parties in Nigeria, you know when I don't like going to Nigeria. When you go to Nigeria, okay. When you go to Nigeria, if you go out, I like to just be free. Here I can go, I can tie my scarf and go out just anyhow. In Nigeria, if you go out that way and you're like, you want to go and buy plantain, the way we look, it's so bad. The way they look at you, it's bad. No, if you go to, if you go Ibadan, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Yes, you do. You know what I mean. Sister Buki, please, you know what I mean, right? Yes. It's true. It's a cultural snobbing, and it does not please God. What do we have that we have not received? Underneath all our clothes, we're all naked. It is the Lord. Yes.
That's the roots where they come from. They don't think like, I've been watching the movies. I want to say Nigeria is at the top in Africa as terms of civilization. So I'm telling you. I'm telling you, yes, Nigeria is at the top. Is this true? You cannot tell me about what I see or what I know. Okay? So these are the things that they put out there. When these guys are getting richer, they forget that they even come from the village, that where they used to be at. Even the house boy that walk in the house, if somebody else come in there to look for a job, he will kick that person out. Forget that he was once like that guy. So, and it just keep boiling on the society, spread out all over the streets in Nigeria. That's what I look at it.
Thank you. However, it's not civilization. It's the heart of man. It's the heart of man. You have in villages where they have not gotten education, you have people treating anyone they feel is beneath them wickedly, with contempt, with arrogance. It's the heart of man that's desperately wicked. Only Jesus can transform us inside. I just used Nigeria as an example, but we all need to look within and ask God, search me, O God, and try me. Know my, see if there are any wicked ways. Show me the wicked ways in me. Show me and lead me in the way everlasting. And when we are cleansed, the way God would use us when we connect with people, we ourselves would be like, hey, God, thank you. I know it's not me, but thank you. But he wants to do that. Yes. Mommy wanted to say, oh, sorry, I didn't realize.
I just want to give us a proverb in Nigeria, especially in Yoruba land. It's a proverb in our language that bi a ba se rin la koni. And that is our proverb, that the way you move or the way you dress or you do your things, and that is the way you can meet anybody. They can come across you can come across people, anyhow, anytime. So you have to be at alert. That is it. It's inside our own proverb that be abashiri na koni. So that's why you should always be at alert, either in dressing, in walking, in doing whatever you are doing. Okay?
Thank you. So, while we do our best in how we dress, there are many who don't have anything. And so we must be careful. Remember that Paul said, I don't know anybody according to the flesh. We relate with everyone as though this may be an angel. This person may be wearing rags, but that may be an angel. Do you remember how in the book of Hebrews it says, some believers have entertained angels unawares? When we treat people as our Lord commands, regardless whatever they're wearing, with love, compassion, respect, we're pleasing God, and we never know who we may be meeting. Yes, it's true, and Mom, I'm guilty. I like my comfort more than beauty and all that. I want to be comfortable. I do. But there is an excess that is dominant in many places in Nigeria. But God has called us not to relate to people after the flesh, and it's time we practice it. My dear brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot have the faith of our glorious Lord Jesus with respect of persons. Now we're going to come to marriage. Paul was single. Oh, yes. Yes.
So I think that, sometimes proverbs, right? I think how you interpret proverbs also matter. And yes, as mommy has said, in one respect, you may think about it that that proverb literally means, the way you look, the way but also when you also think about it in spiritual terms, right? And even what you are telling us in terms of how you need to fellowship with others and all of that. If you are bearing witness to Christ, your appearance, not necessarily your physical appearance, but just in terms of how you even exude love and all of that, is how people would also see you. So that can also be in respect of that proverb. You follow that. It's the way you express love, the way people will see you and just feel that there's something. Doesn't matter how you look, but people will see you and know that there's something about this person that is Christ-like, and I want to go after this person. So that can be interpreted in that way as well.
Thank you. That is very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Please, Sister Jackie.
What Femi said is very true. So there's a man painting my house. So Brother Bumi came by yesterday. So just talking to that man, the man was all filthy, painting. So just talking to that man, he came to me while we are talking. He said he's truly a Christian, which I already know that because that's how I met him. So he met me just to fix something in my house, and he charged me little money because the other people they came before, they charged me so high. And he only charged me little because I was sitting on my computer working while I was listening to some prayer line, And then he said to me, "Do you go to church? You believe?" I said, "Yes, sir, I believe, sir." He said, I said, "Okay, can you help me paint this house? How much?" He looked at me, he said, "Okay." Then he gave me his price. I did not even beg. I said, "Okay, when would you start?" And then he said, "Okay, I'll start." So when Brother Bumi met this guy yesterday, right there, you will know, just like Fumi said, the way you present yourself, it doesn't matter how you look, somebody will know you are Christ-like. That's all.
Thank you, Sister Jackie. Amen. Amen. May we exude the fragrance of Jesus wherever we go. Amen. And so, I'll start rounding up here. There are many others. I love Dr. Luke. Do you remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where Paul said, this person's here, only Luke is with me. Luke stayed with him all the way. He was there with him in prison. He was there with him in Rome. Faithful friendship. May we make time for each other. May we think about this and really go back to think, how much do I make time for people these days? May we make time to call each other, check on each other. May we make time to share the gospel with each other. Sometimes people do have ADHD and other learning disabilities. And sometimes it's just you. Me too. I discovered as an adult. Just coming beside someone that, let's read the book of Luke together. That helps that person enormously. Just coming alongside, let the three of us read this. I'll remind you. Let's stay on task. Okay, we'll read it out loud with each other. We'll call each other 15 minutes every day. Let's do this. Let's get back to those days where we would walk miles just to share a scripture with somebody. That's how it was for me growing up. God's mercy. But let's get back to those days where, and then we wouldn't know if that person would be home. It's the Lord. But you know what I'm talking about. God has just given you this revelation from his word, and you can't wait to share it with another believer who you know is just as excited as about the word of God as you. Let's make time to build each other up. Galatians 6:2 talks about us carrying one another's burdens. It includes spiritual burdens, physical burdens, emotional burdens, helping each other. May we make time for each other. So I want to talk. I talked about Paul. Paul was single. Silas was single. Because remember when Paul said that, is it only Silas and I that to go about without wife and without being provided for by those that we minister to? It's in Corinthians if you want to read it. So they were single. Let's talk about Priscilla and Aquila. Back to them. To have a couple that, do you know there's nowhere in the Bible that they mention Priscilla without Aquila? There's nowhere in scripture. It's always the two of them together. They were bonded in Christ. I believe before Priscilla saw Aquila, she saw Jesus. Before Aquila saw Priscilla, he saw Jesus. When the Lord Jesus is truly the binding tie, I'm convinced you have the four categories of love. You have agape, the God kind of love. You have storge, the family love. You have phileo, you have friendship. And you have eros, you have the romantic love. When Christ is really, when two people, a couple in a couple, are really surrendered to the Lord, I believe you have four. I believe you have respect, mutual respect. I believe you have submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I believe this couple had it. I really believe you have those four loves instead of the four horses of the apocalypse that Gottman discovered. So Gottman, maybe some of you know Gottman, he's a popular researcher. I don't know his first name, but he and his wife researched thousands of couples, studied thousands of couples, and they discovered, they were able to predict to 96% couples that would divorce based on studying thousands. What did they find out? What they called the four horses of apocalypse. Couples where you had criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. I'll say it again. Couples that had in their relationship criticism, contempt, stonewalling, and defensiveness. Those couples, those were telltale signs. The worst of it was contempt. We must be very careful. How many of us have heard the words familiarity breeds contempt? If you've heard it before. When we are familiar with each other in marriage, in families, when we are familiar with, if we do not guard our hearts, if we are not intentional about it, there will be a time we will treat each other like Akisa Elegbe. There will be a time we will treat each other like filthy rags. There will be a time we will treat each other with contempt. If we do not guard our hearts, and that is treating someone that Jesus treats as precious with contempt, it will not do. Yes.
Not married, generally speaking, you're saying family, right?
Now, I said that, have you heard the word familiarity breeds contempt? So I said that if we are not careful, people we are familiar with, it's a human thing, that if we're not deliberate, that I'm going to treat this person I'm familiar with respect. Doesn't matter how familiar I am with this, my wife, my husband, my brother, my sister, my child, no matter how familiar I am, my friend, I'm going to guard my heart under God, with God helping me, not to treat this person with contempt in any situation. It takes being deliberate that I'm going to treat my people with respect.
Do we all agree to that? I think if, like in family, if there is love there, the contempt, I don't even know whether it's going to come up at all, to be honest with you. Like, if I have a sister that I love, my sibling, or that wouldn't come up, no matter how familiar we are. That's how I look at it. I may be wrong. But.
So that's wonderful. Love is, to me, when you love someone, you respect that person. So if there is love, I don't believe you can love someone without respecting that person. If there's true love, there will be respect. And therefore, you won't treat with contempt. But the truth is, we're not always loving towards each other. There are times we're selfish. There are times we want our own way. And because the other person isn't doing it the way we want, we can treat that person with contempt. And that's what I'm talking about, that we need to guard our hearts. We need to deliberately ask God, Lord, help me see you in this, my spouse. Help me see you in this, my spouse. Help me see you in my child, especially the child that gives you a lot of trouble. Help me see you. Help me see you. If we rely on ourselves, one day we will surprise ourselves. And it won't be a pleasant surprise. But God is calling us higher. Isaac and Rebecca it was very clear that God ordained that marriage. I mean, Abraham's servant was led. But did they have a good marriage? I don't think so. No. One is choosing Jacob. The other is choosing Isaac. There's deceit. Esau, thank you. Esau, there's deceit. Well, Do let whatever curse come upon me, do what I tell you. You deceive your father, he's blind now. Put this on. You're my favorite son. They didn't communicate with each other. This is not what God wants for us. Let's ask God to help us that we will have the kind of marriage Priscilla and Aquila had. Ha. These guys had a church home. Yeah. They hosted a church house in their home. Together, they instructed Apollos. Do you remember how important, how Apollos is one of the three people that Paul, when Paul was rebuking the Corinthians, he said, some of you say, me, I'm of Apollos. Me, I'm of Paul. Me, I'm of Cephas, Peter. Me, I'm of Jesus. I'm of Jesus. Do you understand? Apollos was very, if you read the book of Acts, you see how powerful a speaker Apollos was. He was a powerful speaker. Tishe, he was a powerful speaker. So, as a couple, Apollos hadn't heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'd only heard about the baptism of John. As a couple, they instructed him more in the way of the Lord. They went, when Claudius? There was a Roman emperor that tossed them out, all the Jews, out of Rome. And they were tossed out. It was Claudius as well. They were tossed out as well. That's when they met Paul. They invited him to come be with them. They were tent makers. They were the same trade. They went with him on part of his missionary journey to Syria. They went with him to Ephesus. He left them at Ephesus. That's where they met Apollos. Do you understand? This couple made a difference. Do you remember in Romans 12, we read it this morning. He said they risked their lives. They almost lost their lives for the sake of the gospel and for his sake. No wonder in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul is only greeting the house of Onesiphorus, the only other people he's sending greeting to, greet Priscilla and Aquila for me. I pray this is the kind of couples we would be. I pray that our sisters and our children that we're praying for marriage and trusting God, that these are the kind of couples they will be. That the Lord will be glorified in our homes. That the Lord will be glorified in our relationships. That the Lord will be glorified in our children's relationships. But we've got to choose Christ. And we've got to make the most of the times we have right now to partner in Christ in the Word of God and to jettison stonewalling and contempt and defensiveness and criticism. And sometimes it's really going to take a deep searching, a close individual walk with God, and a close coming together of couples to pray, to seek God's word together. May the Lord help us all. Finally, in God's design, the currency of our relating to one another is love. Do you have the mark? Of course, I'm not asking for the mark of the beast. But do you have the mark? What mark, you ask? Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, the love you have for one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Before he went to die, he did the lowest servant's work. He washed their feet. And he said, we ought to wash one another's feet. There are different ways God will call each of us to do that. Sometimes it's for our persecuted brethren that God wants us to be as sacrificial as we would be if that was our cousin, if that was our brother, because they are brethren and sisters in Christ. I was thinking, you know, as I understand Christianity back in the day, with what's happening, a huge swath of the body of Christ would have called each other in groups and would have been fasting and praying. Would have been fasting and praying. Would have been doing prayer chain. Would have been doing prayer chain. Is there some hardness of heart that we're not aware of? Because God hasn't changed. Would have been, and we wouldn't wait until it's come to the south. Would have been doing it with our brethren in the north. Something's happened, but something good can happen. We can change now. In pockets, in pockets, we can influence and help each other. We can connect together for the purpose of the kingdom. Let us show that we have the mark. Let us not shun each other. When your spouse is making a bid for connection, you know what a bid for connection is? And they're trying to talk to you. Ah, it could just be, oh, look out the window. They're talking to you about, it could be just anything. Did you hear what happened in the news today? Did the kidney? Mm-hmm. Our daughter has a kidney call. She goes, mm-hmm. Look at me now when I'm talking to you. Ain't you laughing, bro? That means it's ears that we used to listen. And thank you. That's it's in the eyes that are speech. And it's either way. But what when you're as we get to know each other, you find your spouse is trying to make a bid for connection in one way or the other. Let's respond. We can put that phone down. We can put that book down. It's only for a few minutes. Let's connect. You never know how you make that person feel. Heard, seen, loved. Let's connect. The time of our Lord's coming is soon. It's really soon. And we don't know. Whenever my husband says that, persecution is coming to America, I'm like, please don't say that again. Oh, I'm afraid of persecution. I really am. I'm serious. I really am. I can't lie. I'm like, God, I'd rather they just shoot. The things they're doing, the meaning. Our brethren are suffering.
Amazing. So how can you connect? It's crazy. All this person is crazy. They have a big fence, big gates. How can you come up church and talk to your neighbor? When the neighbor comes, the gate's open, go inside the gate lock. There's no connection. Connection is going to happen very rare. And some of we are not determined to spend our life in it. We have to go home. Or the picture home is changed for we to connect with neighbors. Like the way I was raised, my father's house never locked the door. There was no cage on the doors. Now we see people building houses with cage. So it's like you go in your house, like you're in prison, you don't connect with neighbors, you don't connect with nobody. You only connect with your circle inside the house. Because even when Christ was existed, there was none of this thief, none of this protection was there. Christ was walking, openly walking around farm, people houses, kids would jump outside to see him and everything. We don't have that now.
I hear you. I hear you, my brother. So God doesn't call us to do something about those things that are out of our control. But the things that are within our control, where we're living today, because none of us is promised tomorrow. But where we are at this moment today, who are those around me? Who are those I can reach out to? Where I am this day, even at home, is there someone that my sending money to help will do something? Or my giving a call? Or just what is within my sphere of influence now, today, just as long as it's called today. That's what he's called us to. And I hear you. It's painful when you think about what the past used to be like and what it is now. But we know that when Jesus comes, there'll be no more of this. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more fighting. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more selfishness when Jesus comes. So we take consolation as we read the scriptures, as we encourage one another, and as we connect where we have the power to. Thank you. Yes, sis.
Yes, sir. Thank you. What I just want to say is we start where we are. Somebody always says the mental of mind. We start where we are, otherwise we'll stay where we are. Even though people are building walls, we do even little acts of connection goes a long way. So even if you see them in the street, you see sometimes you can see in their compound, just smiling to that person is important. Just saying hello. It's just like even my apartment building, there's a neighbor of mine. When I'm walking my dog, I see him walking his dogs. We just laugh, we just smile. And the other day, my spiritual mom's car didn't start. He was the one that came to help. That's when I, what's your name? What's your name? Jonathan. Jonathan of the Bible. This. Next thing you know, I can actually now go knock on his door, give him a card, do so. So just passing each other on the streets, smiling, next thing you know, you'll be able to go knock on their door. They'll invite you in. So just little bits, start where you are. No matter what it is, no matter how little, it will go a long way.
Please, I can hear God, or let me see, Sister Kemi, through God saying that we should remove the cages from our hearts. When the cages are actually physical things or mental things that we've put around, let's remove it. It's just like a call to repentance. See yourself in this, break down, trust God for a new start. Else will be unfruitful.
Let us pray. Please, let's talk to God individually, honestly. I'll be quiet in a moment, but I just want to ask us to ask God to help us forgive where there's unforgiveness, to help us heal where there's woundedness, and to help us trust his love where he's the one that we're doubting whether he loves us. Let us pray honestly. Let's ask God to renew a right spirit within us. The spirit of surrender, of faith and surrender to the Lord, that causes us to be willing to be poured out for Jesus. That causes us to mind the things of God more than the things of this earth. And that causes us to be willing to move out of our comfort zone.
The Lord gave us a word just a few moments ago through Brother Yinka. It's one thing to have physical cages, but then the cages around the heart. Let's ask God to show us what cages are around our hearts and to help us to remove them, to get rid of them. Perhaps you know some. Let's ask God to help us and let's make up our minds that I'm getting rid of this cage. I am secure in Christ and I'm getting rid of this cage.